Hello everyone and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. We are at the midway point of the fantasy football regular season, so this week's episode will look ahead to the rest of the regular season and into the fantasy playoffs based on what's happened through 7 weeks. So let's jump right into it at quarterback. I mentioned last week about it being the final opportunity to buy low on Bo Nix, and he came through with the highest score of the season by any player with 39.96 fantasy points. This week could be another monster game for him versus the 32nd ranked Dallas defense for a probable shootout. So make sure he's in lineups as a great QB1 this week and moving forward. For both this week and beyond, Justin Fields is the ultimate boomer bust quarterback. Still unclear as of this recording if he will even be the starter for the Jets after he was benched last week for Tyrod Taylor. But he's had 3 games with 27 plus fantasy points and 3 games with fewer than 5 fantasy points so far this season. Aaron Glenn said he's consulted with others about the quarterback situation, and if one of the people he talked to was Dan Campbell, he might have said to unleash Fields as a runner, because that's what gave them issues in Detroit. Campbell even said it's nice to have Fields out of the division when he was traded to the Steelers last year, and I've been saying the Jets need to use him more as a runner to take advantage of his abilities, so if Fields gets another shot to start this week, I might give him another shot as a QB1 option, and the upside is definitely enticing for good matchups. So I'm sure many will drop him after the benching, but if he's reinstalled as a starter, Fields could certainly be someone to pick up. And then sort of the underrated potential QB1 for down the stretch. Sam Darnold didn't have the best showing last night, but the connection with JSN has been close to unstoppable, and I'd be looking ahead to a couple of potential shootouts in the fantasy playoffs, as Seattle will take on the Colts and Rams in week 15 and week 16. So Darnold flying under the radar a bit as a potential QB1, and hopefully the turnovers last night will lead to more of a focus on taking care of the ball when Seattle returns from the bye. At running back, the big one here I would say is to invest in high-end handcuffs. A mistake a lot of people make is only handcuffing their own players, but you shouldn't limit yourself that way. Brian Robinson Jr., Tyrone Tracy Jr., Blake Corman, and others are all worth stashing, especially for those looking ahead to the fantasy playoffs. And also looking ahead to the fantasy playoffs, we often see power backs have success late in the season as the weather gets colder and defenses are more worn down. So Derrick Henry is the obvious target we continue to mention, and I'd say coming out of the bye is the absolute last chance to buy low if perhaps someone's worried about Lamar Jackson remaining out. And in week 9, Henry will notably take on the Dolphins, who have been totally destroyed by running backs this season, so I'd be looking to buy low while you can. Quinshon Judkins is another, but I don't think he'd be available after a 3-touchdown performance. So other options to consider trying to get are David Montgomery, who is coming off a quiet game, Omarion Hampton obviously dealing with the ankle injury, and in deeper leagues, maybe even Caleb Johnson. And not really a power back, but definitely the lead early down runner. Travis Etienne should be more involved when the Jags come out of the bye. They will continue to rotate backs, but Jacksonville was at their best playing through Etienne, and he'll get some soft matchups down the stretch as one of the best big play runners in football. At wide receiver, I'll hit on a few buy low targets. First is Jameson Williams. He was held without a catch last night, but got a couple of downfield targets that didn't hit. That's been the story so far this year. J-Mo and Jared Goff have only connected in one game thus far, but he's too good to not start rolling eventually, and maybe the bye week will get things figured out. So the ceiling makes Williams a recommended investment. Similar situation for Keon Coleman, where he's been quiet other than one game this season, but another guy in a high-powered offense, and hoping the soft reset in Buffalo that Sean McDermott mentioned will lead to things being centered around him more, in addition to James Cook and Dalton Kincaid. So a bye based on the talent catching passes from Josh Allen. For the Bucs, Chris Godwin will be boosted whenever he returns, with Mike Evans being out again until at least early December. And Todd Bowles previously said Godwin will be a terror when back into form, so he could pay off in a big way down the stretch. And Tez Johnson should get serious flex consideration for now. He's shown his ability in back-to-back games with the touchdown, and he's someone we gave a round 2 grade to coming out of Oregon, despite being drafted in the 7th round, so another talent-based investment for sure. And finally, Marvin Mims gets a great matchup this week against the Cowboys, and can be an upside option in lineups this week and beyond if the Broncos commit to him more after he went for nearly 100 yards last week and had a couple of clutch catches late in the comeback win over the Giants. And remember, Mims was going off down the stretch last year when Denver finally featured him. To finish things off at tight end, it's the same advice I've given a couple of times already, with Isaiah Likely and Harold Fannin Jr. being ideal investments. For Likely, he saw a snap rate climb to over 80% prior to the bye. And again, John Harbaugh called him an all-pro potential player before the season, so look for him to be involved to boost the Baltimore offense. And for Fannin, he started last week in place of David Njoku, and it was a tough spot with bad weather and Cleveland playing from ahead, but still another solid outing for him. 4 receptions for 36 yards, and he'll be involved every week for Cleveland, even when Njoku's back. And the final name I'll mention is Kyle Pitts, who has seen his ownership dip close to 60% in ESPN leagues, which is surprising. He's seen heavy involvement for the Falcons, and looking at the matchups the rest of the way, it's basically all green for him. And the final missing piece is probably increased opportunities in the red zone. But he had 10 targets last week, showed very well as a blocker, I noticed, which will only boost his outlook in the second half of the season. So that will conclude this episode. Wanted to try to give some helpful advice, whether you're looking ahead to the fantasy playoffs or trying to make it. But as always, you can find our full rankings and analysis on wolfsports.com. And if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, feel free to reach out with any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Dylan Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.